Listener's discretion is advised. Good evening, folks, to all of the parties who are listening here tonight on this Sunday edition of Random Stuff Season 4. Now, this weekend was full of road course racing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, plus a little oval racing at the Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park, where the playoffs began for the Craftsman Truck Series. Yes, the NASCAR Truck Series. Started their playoffs with Ty Majeski winning the opening round at the T-Sport 200 at IRP. And Shane Van Gisbergen finished 19th in his oval debut with Nice Motorsports driving the 41 truck. And of course, he went to Indianapolis Motor Speedway Road Course to drive the 91. We'll get to that later on in this pod monologue. But right now, let's focus on Saturday. Both the Xfinity Series and the NTT IndyCar Series went there. And first things first, the NTT IndyCar Series was there for the second time for the road course. Yes, two road course races, including yesterday. And of course, the Indianapolis 500, the oval racing in the month of May. And the first road course race was in the month of May also. Scott Dixon continued his winning streak. Yes, for the 19th consecutive season, Scott Dixon had at least one win of at least one season. Like at least one win. He has now, I believe, he has 53 career wins in the IndyCar Series and one Champ Car victory. That's before he joined the IndyCar Series. So overall, he has 54 open wheel wins. That's still second to AJ Foyt, who has the most wins, and also his 6 IndyCar championships are also second behind 7-time IndyCar champion AJ Foyt. And here was his interview, victory lane interview, after his historic win.
Scott Dixon has won a race. There's only one person that has more wins and more championships, and his name is AJ Foyt. You've had some improbable wins before. That one in Portland a few years ago through the dust comes to mind. But you've done a spin and win to win at Indy. How did you do it?
Yeah, that was crazy. Huge credit to the team. You know, we weren't sure even on the first run there. I will say I had a fantastic start. I think I got up to like 8th or 9th and then got T-boned in turn 7 there. But huge credit to the team. You know, it's been a trying year for us, just where things could have rolled our way. They haven't, but they never give up. So big thank you to everybody on the PNC Bank number 9. Honda was amazing today. It was so fun driving my Honda out there today, getting the fuel mileage, cruising along, and, you know, fantastic pace. The only problem there towards the end, I think on my outlaps, I pushed it too hard to kind of create that gap on Graham, and unfortunately burnt the tires off a little bit. So it was pretty sketchy at the end, but we tried to put on a show for everyone.
We're more into the numbers than you are, but today you are the Iron Man. This is your 319th consecutive start, and you've won 19 seasons in a row. What's the significance?
What a day to win on, you know, and makes it so fun, especially for, you know, this little guy. He gets to see it. It's been a little while since I've had a win, probably over a year since last year. So, you know, it makes it worthwhile, and, you know, we're going to keep on trying to win 320.
Did you start to wonder if it was going to come this year?
You always have doubt. You know, that's the unfortunate part of the business. But, you know, I know working with this group, it's just amazing. And Chip steers this ship, man, and he steers it well, so it's cool to be here.
And we know he likes winners, and this man is definitely a winner. Congratulations. Scott Dixon has won again at Indianapolis.
Now, congratulations to Scott Dixon again for the Gallagher Grand Prix win, which, by the way, that was his 319th consecutive start, which, right as of this moment, He is the Iron Man of the IndyCar series. And he really, really wants to get another oval win next week. Actually, not next week. 2 weeks from today. Yes, the last oval race of the year will be at the Worldwide Tech Raceway Park, or Worldwide Technology Raceway Park, in the greater St. Louis area in Madison, Illinois. Now, after the IndyCar race, we saw Ty Gibbs in the seventh and final race of the year because, you know, it's... He is less than 5 years, by the way. It's new rule now that if you go over 5 years in the Cup Series, you have to have to race 5 races. And since Ty Gibbs was not there yet, he gets to race 7 races in the Xfinity Series while vying to make a spot in the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Ty Gibbs finally got a win in his last start of the 2023 Xfinity Series season, which, by the way, he is the defending Xfinity Series champion who is only focusing on the Cup Series. And here was his interview, his victory... Nope, not victory lane. On-track interview after that, finally, win number one of the 2023 season at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Series, 7 tries this year, but you are finally in victory lane. Does it seem like it's about time?
Yeah, definitely about time. Really cool to get one here at the Brickyard. I grew up racing go-karts in Newcastle right down the street, so really special to me. Thank you. He gets us. All glory to Jesus Christ. Awesome car. Great car. Thank you, Jason Radcliffe. The man right here. Jason did such a great job. Thank you. This is just so special to me.
Take us back to racing nearby, Ty, and knowing that this place was here and what it might mean someday to win.
Yeah, really cool. I've raced go-karts right down the street with a bunch of kids, you know, so, I mean, some of them are in IndyCar now, so it's cool to kind of, we're all just at this level, so really special. We got the Brickyard, let's go!
Speaking of levels, you've got some work to do tomorrow, right? Just barely above that cut line. What does this do for your tomorrow? I know the cars are very different, but what'd you learn today?
Just go win.
You feel like you know the track better?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, track time's great. So thank you to He Gets Us, to Monster Energy, to all these guys. Thank you to Mitch Covington, David Gallen. Man, let's go.
All right, 7th try is a charm. He's in.
And then earlier today, the conclusion of the Indianapolis doubleheader in the road course kind of way, as Michael McDowell, who started his career on road courses, endurance races, and open wheel races, has finally get to win a road course race in the Cup Series level. Remember, he already won a road course race in the Xfinity Series level, driving the number 2 car for Richard Childress Racing at Road America, which still stands as his only win in the Xfinity Series level. And now, after his Daytona 500 victory in 2021, which was his first oval win in NASCAR, he finally got to show what it means to win a road course race. He was very good in the road course since switching into the next-gen cars, and he dominated the entire day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and, of course, Chase Elliott finished 2nd place. Yes, Chase Elliott finished 2nd place to Michael McDowell. Again, just like the 2021 Daytona 500. And Michael McDowell is in the playoffs, which means that Bubba Wallace is now on the bubble. And now here's the victory. Oh, fuck, I did it again. I should have said on track interview with Marty Snyder of NBC Sports. So once again, here is his victory interview for Michael McDowell.
And the Daytona 500 for the first career win and the second one at Indianapolis. It puts him in the playoffs. Michael, as a young man who was coming up through open wheel racing, did you ever dream you would win here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Oh man, this is such a dream come true.
I'm so thankful to everybody at Front Row Motorsports, Bob Jenkins, Horizon Hobbies, Left Shop Soft Freight Auction, Chicago Pneumatic. Man, we had a fast forward Mustang. Everybody at Roush Engine Shop, Doug. These guys gave me everything today. We had the fastest car. We executed. We did what we needed to do. Just so thankful. So thankful to still be grinding it out in the Cup Series. To put on a performance like that. I don't know if it was dominant, but it felt pretty dominant to me.
Welcome to the playoffs. What were the emotions on those final few laps? Because Chase Elliott was closing quick.
You know, I was really trying to pace myself. I figured there'd be a late race caution. I didn't want to burn my stuff up. So I was just trying to maintain that gap. Then when I got into traffic, started closing, I had to push it. But I just can't believe it. So thankful to Bob Jenkins, all of our partners, Bell Racing Helmets, Sparco. There's so many people that help us. So thankful to everybody that's stuck behind us. It's been a grind, and I'm so proud.
Did you think the path to the playoffs for your team was with a win, and much less, I'll go with dominant as well, a dominant win?
You know, I thought we could point our way in, but after the car that we had yesterday in practice, I thought, man, we got a good shot at winning if we could just get track position and maintain it. So yeah, I can't believe it. So thankful. Also, Wiley X. I don't know where they're at right now. They should be on my head, but they've been with me for over 10 years, and it's great to have partners like that.
Michael, what does it mean to have the family here to celebrate a win in Indianapolis, a place you always dreamed of just racing at, but it also puts you in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's such a big deal. I mean, you know, winning the Daytona 500 was one of the coolest moments you could ever have. But going to victory lane without your family, that was tough. And so we cherry pick. My family comes to the races. We think we can win. We thought we could win this one. Just so proud.
There you go, Michael McDowell.
Once again, congrats to Michael McDowell on his victory at the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard. Now, I said something earlier about Shane Van Gisbergen finishing in 19th place at the Indianapolis Raceway Park. And earlier today, he finished 10th. Yes, that's a top 10 finish for him. He beat all the other road course ringers, including his supercar rival, Costecchi, endurance racer, Kamui Kobayashi, F1 world champion, Jenson Button, and Le Mans winner, Mike Rockenfeller. I think I've covered all the other ones. Yep, I covered it all. Brody Costecchi, Kamui Kobayashi, Jenson Button, Mike Rockenfeller. Those were the road course ringers that were there. But, you know, he got an interview with Marty Snyder of NBC Sports about SVG's experience at the Indianapolis road course.
The 10th position today. Boy, it was rough right from the start, wasn't it? How was this challenge at Indy different than Chicago?
It's tough here because everyone's on it. Everyone knows the track, and there's a lot more room for error, so everyone's racing aggressively. But can't thank the Project 91 guys here enough. The Enhanced Chevy, so much fun to be back. And, yeah, just hopefully can do more. Had an awesome battle with Kyle and Chris there. They got the better of me at the end, but battling with those guys was great.
So what did you learn about how Cup drivers race? Because you were kind of out front of them at the street course. You were in the middle of it all today.
Well, it's aggressive, but it's fair. You know, I put a block on the 48, and then the next corner he just moved me, so I guess I deserve that. But, the racing was fine. I really enjoyed it, and all the battling, when you go for a move on someone, they give you room, and they expect it back. So, yeah, really cool.
How would you sum up your entire week? Because you ran the Oval at IRP in the Truck Series, which was, you know, a learning lesson, and then also the top 10 here today.
It's been an amazing week. I can't thank Justin Marks and the Trackhouse team enough to give me this opportunity. I learned a lot in the track on Friday night, and then, just to come here and race again. And although a top 10's awesome, your expectations are high because of the last race, so just have to realize that top 10's still pretty good.
I'll ask you what I asked you after the win at Chicago. What's next? I mean, your team in Australia has already said, hey, you can go if you want to. You said, I want to be here. Do you see yourself here full-time next year?
I don't know about full-time, but I'm working towards something at least. The team, 888 in Australia, has been really good to me and forthcoming with what I'm allowed to do. So I'm working hard, but here, it's so much fun. I'm having a blast. The fans here are awesome towards me, and all the people too. I'm enjoying it, so really look forward to coming here.
And what a record for SVG. The win and now a top 10 here at Indianapolis.
Hey, whatever plan it is for you in 2024, Shane Van Gisbergen, you know that you're going to make it work. I hope that we get to see you compete in more oval races and presumably some more road course races, especially the Circuit of the Americas. You're going to love that track. And possibly, I hope I see Shane Van Gisbergen race at the Daytona 500, driving the number 91 of Trackhouse Racing. I mean, Project 91. Sorry. Trackhouse Racing has a subgroup called Project 91 for international drivers. And I'm telling it for people who don't know about that amazing project. Now, that covers the Indianapolis doubleheader weekend for the IndyCar Series and NASCAR. So, after this brief ad, we're going to do some more racing listening as we go back to 1995, the last race of the International Race of Champions season, or IROC as I like to be called. So, yeah, I want to reiterate, the last race of the 1995 IROC season at Michigan International Speedway. And I've said it before, IROC stands for the International Race of Champions. So, please, sit back, relax, stay tuned, folks, on this Sunday edition of Random Stuff Season 4.
There I am, about to cook my traditional Thanksgiving dinner, tuna-roni and sardines for one. And suddenly, the visitor reaches out his talons and he eats my can opener.
Oh,
I believe you, Ron.
Reminds me of the time a Bigfoot stole my bicycle.
I believe you too, Gloria. Mm-hmm. By the way, this butter is delicious.
Oh, that's not butter.
I don't believe you, Gloria.
No, really, I can't believe it's not butter.
I don't believe you either.
Look, I have been where you are. It's unbelievably buttery flavor and easy smooth spreadability makes you think I can't believe it's not butter.
You and you out of my house now.
That's the name of the product.
Yeah.
Some people are crazy. Unbelievable.
Try I Can't Believe It's Not Butter today. Available at your local grocery retailer.
Back, folks, on this Sunday edition of Random Stuff. Now let's go to that segment that is very, very long, that it takes 1,000 miles to get around this very, 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 very big oval track, or a segment that is so long that it takes 500 days to finally get a word correctly, or a segment that is so long that maybe 800 miles of misery would go away if you have to go to this location called
Fully Operational Death Star.
In this very lengthy ass Death Star segment is where we travel back to 1995, the last race of 1995 IROC season, the International Race of Champions season, that is. And it all comes down to the track called Michigan International Speedway, where Mark Martin is trying to win his second consecutive IROC championship, while Dale Earnhardt Sr. is trying to win his second IROC championship. Now, entering 1995, Mark Martin was his defending champion because he won the 1994 IROC championship. And here is the full race of the IROC race at Michigan International Speedway with the commentators Pulp Age, Sam Posey, and Benny Parsons in the year 1995 on ABC Network. So here is the full race.
All right.
right, let's take a final look at how they will line up. On the pole will be Al Unser Jr., a two-time IROC champion, but his second start of this series. Hurley Haywood will be alongside the road racer. His best finish was a sixth at Darlington. In row two, Rusty Wallace, the IROC champion in 91. And Ricky Rudd, who won the IROC championship in his first attempt in 92. Row three, Tom Kendall, the road racer, making his third IROC appearance. And Steve Kinzer, who finished second to Earnhardt at Talladega. Row four, Jeff Gordon. His first season in IROC has produced a second back at Darlington. And Ken Schrader, the versatile driver, is competing in his first season in the IROC. In row five, Scott Pruitt. A second at Daytona is his best finish in IROC 19. And Mark Martin, he won at Darlington. Row six, Dale Earnhardt. The winner at Daytona and Talladega goes for his second IROC title. So this is it, 11 Dodge Avengers. Dale Earnhardt, Mark Martin will start all the way in the back and have to climb their way through this field. Five different drivers with a chance to take home the IROC championship. The pace car pulls off the field, tightens up nice and tight. Very neat. Al Unser Jr. on the pole in that bright green car. The pace picks up. And here we go. The final round of the IROC is underway. Everybody stays in formation as they go through one. The speed comes up to top speed now.
Awesome contact, so the power's
early on. Mark Martin looks like he got in there. Earnhardt's not yet made his move. Looking back at Rusty Wallace from Al Unser Jr. back to second place now.
The track
and Rusty begin to pull away.
The track recently repaved, unbelievably smooth.
Rudd and then Kinzer. Second group of three.
And Tommy Kendall on the inside in the black car trying, but now three abreast as they come towards the start finish line to complete that first lap.
But the real surprise to me remains Earnhardt, who seems to seek a position as they come four wide at the back.
Earnhardt, you might have expected, Benny mentioned that he would move up fast, but so far he has not moved up at all. Surprise, Benny?
I am first.
Oh!
How did Earnhardt get between that car and the wall?
Unbelievable.
Well, maybe we want to take a look at the right side.
Earnhardt did get through. He has damage to the car. Heavy smoke off Earnhardt's car.
That's the championship.
Keep an eye on Earnhardt now. As he brings her down, of course, the yellow is out. Laps under the yellow do not count in the International Race of Champions.
Listen, you can hear the right rear tires flap.
Earnhardt trying to win his second IROC championship. Only two other men have done that, Al Unser Jr., A.J. Foyt.
So Earnhardt with right side damage, and he heads for the pits. This may help him, though. So does Tommy Kendall. It's not going to hurt him in that the laps under yellow don't count. Also, Pruitt comes into the pits. This is what happened, Benny.
We can see the blue car. Pruitt just gets the car sideways, goes around, and Mark Martin turns immediately left, and Earnhardt goes up and gets between Pruitt and the wall, but does do some damage as he brushes that wall. Jack Arute.
We're with Dale Earnhardt, and Dale is trying to get a signal to the crew here to tell them exactly what's wrong with the car.
The fuel line's knocked off of it.
Dale, it looked as if you almost escaped, and then it got into the wall.
I didn't touch the wall. It must have cut the tire when he spun or something. Run over something, he cut the right front tire, and it jerked the gas line off and smelled gas real bad.
You can smell the gas. We'll see if we can show you what the crew is going to work right now. They're going to check and see if they can isolate where the fuel line is off. The damage quite extensive on Dale Earnhardt's car, but remember, caution laps do not count. So the IROC mechanics can get to work here and see if they can get Earnhardt back into the race.
And Earnhardt's right. There's no damage other than that caused by that right front tire when it went down. So they work on Dale Earnhardt's car, trying to get him back into the fight. We'll be back. Set up this yellow. You're on top of Dale Earnhardt's car. He did get into the back of Martin as Scott Pruitt started to spin. Martin went down low and actually ran across the grass. Another look. We'll take a look at it. Now, this is from the outside. Scott shooting this one.
Scott
Prudence is the better part of valor.
Yes, it is.
So Scott Pruitt drives away, and at the same time, that's when Earnhardt realized the right front was shredded. And let's go down to check.
Well, we checked with Scott Pruitt when he came in for repairs and asked him exactly his recollections of what happened. He said a little bit loose. He got up in the high stuff. The car started to spin around. Next thing you know, he was getting bumped and banged. And you could see it on that replay, guys. Things happen quick here at Michigan.
All right, so we are set and ready to go. Earnhardt, the only car that remains in the pit. Scott Pruitt got it back out. And we are ready to go green once again.
And Earnhardt, the championship is going away. As Unser's telling Rusty Wallace, let's go, partner. Green flag, and we're off and racing.
As to the championship, because now Mark Martin must try to hold off Ken Schrader, who's just 6 points behind him. So it's really a Martin-Schrader battle now with Earnhardt in the pits.
The crew continues to work on Earnhardt's car in the pits. It may very quickly become academic.
Now we are riding with Mark Martin, who is in effect leading the championship.
Looking back from Little Al for Rusty Wallace's car as Wallace comes up to give him some help. That's Rudd just behind. And Kinzer on the close from fourth.
Kinzer moving fast in that cream-colored car on the right.
Jeff Gordon now making a move back with that second group.
And here comes Mark Martin down on the inside. Already in front of past three or four cars, including Earnhardt, who sits in the pits, is now one lap down.
Tommy Kendall comes to the inside behind Mark Martin, trying to give him an advantage of the draft on the low line. Doesn't seem to help him all that much.
And Pruitt extremely high, trying to make it three abreast.
Imagine gathering your nerves back together as Pruitt has after that violent spin and be racing again moments later.
Front of the field, it remains Al Unser Jr. Let's go down to Jack.
Well, very quickly, an expensive stop, a tough accident for Dale Earnhardt. Major problem, broken tie rod. But more importantly, you heard him talk about it. This is the fuel line. It was severed in the accident. He's going two laps down now. The hopes for the championship have gone out the window.
Earnhardt continues to sit in the car. It's in the pits as he goes two laps down. On the track, it's still Al Unser Jr. that leads the battle. And Mark Martin is the guy to keep an eye on now as we come back up to the front. There's Junior, Wallace, Rudd, Kinzer, and Jeff Gordon.
Al Unser Jr. leading the race now. Won his first major. There goes Kinzer down on the inside.
On the inside, he was kicking up dust as he went on the inside.
Whoa.
And here comes Gordon trying to get by Rudd.
Remember that Gordon is one of those five who could walk away with a championship at the end of the day. His possibilities increase greatly when Dale Earnhardt had his problems and continues to sit in the pits.
Once again, Rusty Wallace taking a look at the leader, Al Unser Jr. This is from the rear bumper of Al Unser Jr.'s car.
Rusty Wallace, who earlier in the year won at Martinsville, but has gone winless since then.
Here comes Kinzer to the outside of Rusty Wallace, battling for second place. Again, comes so low, he picks up some dust.
Shades of Talladega a year ago.
And
Steve
Gordon,
Kinzer.
Gordon closes on Kinzer, moves to the inside.
Has a great run as he comes down on the inside of Kinzer. Meanwhile, we see Mark Martin on the inside along with Tommy Kendall in the black car. That's Martin in the lime green.
Looking for Mark Martin's car as he closes up and is almost forced to help Gordon. But now moves in behind Rudd.
Top right of your screen in the black car, he's the Trans Am ace leading the Trans Am points. He's obviously decided to try to follow Mark Martin in the green car. He's really aped every move he's made so far.
Dale Earnhardt still sits in the cockpit waiting and waiting and waiting, but it's all but gone away now unless something would happen. And I can't imagine what it would be that would get Dale back in this fight.
What an unfortunate reward, so to speak, for a great piece of driving by Dale Earnhardt to keep his car out of bigger trouble.
So it's Unser Jr., then Rusty Wallace, Steve Kinzer, Jeff Gordon, Ricky Rudd, Scott Pruitt, Mark Martin. As they came across the line last time around, six laps are complete, the 50-lap run.
Al
Hunter Jr. from the pole still has led every lap.
I was going to say, this is where he won his first big oval race back in 1987 here in IROC. So he has that sense of history here, that confidence.
There we see Pruitt down on the inside, taking a run at Rudd. Can't make it.
Down there all alone.
But Rudd backs off, lets him go as he backs
off. Let's Martin come through, and Kendall still continues on the back of Martin.
All right, here we go up past for the lead as Rusty Wallace is trying. He's alongside Unser.
Kinzer helping Rusty Wallace. You look over from Al Unser Jr.'s car. Wallace has a nose ahead. Gordon helping Al Unser Jr.
That looked almost like a slide jump. Kinzer's used to those things in the sprint cars.
Kinzer muscling his way to the right to try to pick up a little draft from Rusty. Couldn't quite do it.
Oh, Kinzer's in trouble now. The whole line is going by on the outside.
So as Kinzer gets caught out, Rusty Wallace comes to the lead, taking it away from Al Unser Jr. They're running laps at 164.8 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Speed after that lengthy stop, Dale Earnhardt rejoins the fight. And I guess you could say there is still a chance, it may not even be a remote chance, if he can hold on, depending on attrition, depending on placement, he can actually end up still with the championship.
He can still win this thing. He's only 10, 11 laps down right now. Some of these other fellows might have trouble, and Earnhardt pick up two or three spots could still easily be the champion.
Back at the front of the field is still Rusty Wallace and Al Unser Jr.
But his fate, to a certain extent, is in other people's hands. If Mark Martin can manage to win or pick up some of the bonus points for leading laps, then he will probably beat Earnhardt. Probably.
So interesting scenarios. And, of course, not only the championship, but the race itself. And look at Gordon.
Look at Jeff Gordon move up to second place between Rusty and Unser.
Now, you see, if we're having trouble working out these scenarios, the scoring scenarios, with our scorers here in the booth, you can imagine how tough it is for the drivers who've got to figure out what's going on with the other guys, add up the points in their head, and then make their moves accordingly on those last lap maneuvers.
Yeah, the interesting point has been made several times, and that is no communications, not even a pit board with these guys. I wonder, though, if you get a friend to stand down there in two and kind of stick a hand out and tell him where he is.
You wouldn't do a thing like that.
No, no racer. No racer would ever violate the
spirit of that rule. Sporting.
So Rusty Wallace still in front. Jeff Gordon chases in second, then Al Unser Jr. Scott Pruitt sits back and forth. And Kinzer, then Mark Martin, and Tommy Kendall, all right there on your screen.
Of your screen in the black car, still shadowing Mark Martin. He's going to try to stay with him. That is an obvious tactic we're looking at right now.
On board, Al Unser Jr., Jeff Gordon just ahead as he moves to the inside.
And takes the lead with ease from Rusty Wallace.
No problem at all with that pass and no help to get there. Came up, pulled a little draft off of Rusty, and then on his way past. So Gordon now has the lead, and this is important to Gordon because he's in that points fight. He needs to lead laps.
Now we see Mark Martin making a run at Kinzer. He is by, but Kinzer up in the dark stuff trying to fight back, but Mark takes the spot.
Kinzer's been all over the road, hasn't he, Benny? He's tried high, he's tried low, he's made every move in the book.
That's Tommy Kendall in the black car, gets caught out of the draft, and will probably now be forced to slide in behind Steve Kinzer. He's still holding on pretty good, though. Back at the front once again, Jeff Gordon and Wallace. The green car is Al Unser Jr. Neither Wallace nor Jr. have a chance in the points fight for the championship. Gordon very definitely does. We'll be back. The track and into the garage area. The championship may finally be over, but maybe not so quick. Because as we watch the battle for the lead continue, and Jeff Gordon is now overhauled by Rusty Wallace and Al Unser Jr., even at this moment, Earnhardt is still the points leader by a single point over that man, Jeff Gordon. So depending on attrition, depending on the rest of the run, even though he sits in the garage, Earnhardt still can win. It is up to Jeff Gordon. to try to roll up the laps just as fast as he can and pick up points for that.
It's incredible. Gordon started the day fifth in the championship and yet has emerged as Earnhardt's biggest pursuer the way things are shaking out.
Let's go to Jack Arute.
Well, the frustration on Dale Earnhardt is apparent, but right now, Dale, the way the cars are running, you still would be the IROC champion.
Well, it's all in well, but when we messed the front end, a tie rod broke. When the tire blew, it wrapped up all the rubber in there and tore everything, which you guys seen. But it's got a bad vibration now coming off the corner with the right front, and I'm, you know, the alignments must not be right or something, and I'm just worried about busting another tire, and I don't need to get the wall and break my neck again like I did back in the Winston Cup car here.
That just about says it all, guys.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take that chance either.
Okay, Dale.
One broken neck.
It's okay with us.
I broke it once here. That's plenty. So Rusty Wallace up front. Then Alan Zer Jr. And then Jeff Gordon. Sitting back and forth. That's Scott Pruitt. And then Tommy Kendall's working his way back up again. And is in front of Mark Martin. Martin in that lime green car. Another key factor in this championship.
Some things are going to happen very quickly toward the end of this race vis-a-vis the championship. Particularly if Martin, who appears to be trying to save his tires by running in the mid-pack there, suddenly has something left for the end. He may become Earnhardt's closest pursuer.
I guess that's a point, Benny, is we got a hot day here, very, very hot. And Mark Martin's job really is to try and save it for the end, isn't he?
A brand new pavement is very abrasive. Hard on tires. There were some concern these tires might not be able to run 50 laps without wearing out. Martin might be back there saving those to be sure, just like Sam said, at the last 5-6 laps, has a car that he can race with.
Kendall drops low. Mark Martin comes out and helps him a little bit. Then Kendall comes back high, and Martin is left out. Surprised he doesn't tuck in there behind.
Oh, no, he hits Pruitt. Some contact between Martin and Pruitt.
And he does it again. He's leaning on him.
Well, Pruitt can take that kind of thing. Pruitt's a pretty aggressive driver based on his Trans Am performances of last year and his IndyCar driving performances of this year.
Yeah, but why is Martin doing it?
I don't know. He must be really think he needs to get... Maybe he thinks he needs to get to the front right now. He might not be able to pass these guys later. Maybe he doesn't realize that the tires are wearing as bad as they are.
Could he just have gotten a little push, Benny, and just not have been able to keep it tucked down?
I think coming off the corner, that's exactly right. He did get a little bit of a push and got up into Pruitt.
See, here it's happening again. It seems like Mark Martin's having a tough time pinching that car down.
So Mark Martin may be battling a problem as he continues his chase of Scott Pruitt. Rusty Wallace is still the leader. In second place is Alan Zer Jr., followed by Jeff Gordon, who is very much in the fight here. Remember that Rusty last won an IROC race here in 1991. To round four of the International Race of Champions, let's go to our Mechanics of Racing. Here's Jack Arute.
Two basic premises of IROC competition have and continue to be parity and reliability. This year, the IROC mechanics replaced their old cast iron cylinder heads with a brand new aluminum cylinder head configuration. Now, why did they do this? Well, cast iron required a lot of labor-intensive polishing and porting before they would be ready for use on the IROC cars. The aluminum cylinder head, on the other hand, was designed specifically for the racing environment, and any minor fashioning that was needed to get them ready was done with computer assistance. Now, the reliability factor is far greater with the aluminum as well. The old cast iron under real hot conditions tended to warp and actually crack, and you couldn't repair them, so you threw them in the trash. With aluminum, far better heat resistance, and if a minor crack does occur, you simply heli-arc weld it, grind it down, polish it back up, and you can work the cylinder head back into your workforce. Now, this may seem like a minor modification to you and I, but when you take the cumulative effect of every minor modification that's made in these IROC cars, you are getting closer and closer to having identically prepared vehicles for the race drivers.
Kendall makes his move, comes out in front, gets around Rusty Wallace. Alan Zer Jr. sits third, then Jeff Gordon. Now, the tactics of this race are incredible. Earnhardt still, even though he's on foot in the garage area, is in the points position to take the championship. Alan Zer Jr. moving a little bit on Rusty Wallace. But for Mark Martin, he needs to get up to second place in order to win this thing. And and Jeff Gordon needs to win it.
And we see Mark Martin right now is the sixth place car. The lime green is Mark Martin. He's got to pass four cars to get up there. Jeff Gordon is in the dark blue car in fourth place. He's got to pass those three cars in front of him. But as Sam said at the beginning, there's no one to tell them that.
And what Mark Martin is, obviously, he's down to one gamble. He's not going to be able to pick up enough points, bonus points for leading to close on Earnhardt that way. He's got to make his points right at the end of the race. And if he is cooling his tires, oh, here goes Rusty.
Rusty Wallace makes a move inside of Kendall. Little Al hasn't yet decided who he's going to help here.
If he is cooling his tires, Mark Martin, then we're going to see something big right at the end. He just may not have the speed today, though. That's another possibility.
He may not have the car capable of doing it. Right, Sam. Al Unser Jr. right on the back bumper of Rusty Wallace. And if we could see in front of Rusty Wallace, there he is. Rusty right on the back bumper of Kendall.
The incredible irony would be if the championship went to Earnhardt after all this tactical discussion, a man who was standing in the garage area with no tactics at all up his sleeve would win the championship. That would be truly bizarre.
Oh, a little help there from Al Unser Jr. Come on, Rusty, let's get moving.
A bump draft.
Kendall, Wallace, Unser Jr., Gordon, Scott Pruitt, Mark Martin, Steve Kinzer.
Don't rule Kinzer out.
Oh, don't forget that finish at Talladega. Absolutely don't rule Kinzer out of this.
See, Al Jr. trying to get by Rusty Wallace down on the inside. Has a run going in one.
Remember, Al Jr. just about had Daytona 1 at the beginning of this year before he tangled with Dale Earnhardt. He's the most experienced of all these drivers in terms of IROC competition. He's been in 9 IROC.
Suggested at starting that he could be a spoiler in the fight. He currently occupies a position that Mark Martin would just love to have. Are going to be critical. The heat's critical, and maybe take it down to a single groove.
Now we've got 4 cars lined up trying to draft by Kendall, but they evidently could not make it. They've all fallen behind Kendall. Tommy Kendall right now running extremely high in the corner. That racetrack is more abrasive than it is below, so he is wearing his tires more than the guys running lower.
You know, you really can't say enough for Kendall, who of course has a tremendous Trans Am success. But here he is, on this high bank super speedway, doing very well.
He did very well in Darlington, had a very good run there. I think Tommy Kendall is getting more and more accustomed to the stock cars and doing a much better job than a couple of years ago.
Well, the road racer was that way was Jack Baldwin. Very much the same. Once he got adjusted to him, he really adapted well. So Tommy Kendall is the leader over Al Unser Jr., Rusty Wallace, Jeff Gordon, and Mark Martin. Both need to move up. We'll be back. Back at Michigan International Speedway, where the clouds begin to move over, and Tommy Kendall still leads it, and everybody is just going to line up behind Tommy no matter where he goes. That's Al Unser Jr. in the green car just behind him. The pink car is Rusty Wallace. Then Jeff Gordon, Scott Pruitt, and Mark Martin. And all of the contenders, therefore, Gordon, Pruitt, and Martin, the contenders in the points fight are all right there, all mixed together. Al Unser Jr. tries it.
He's trying to get by, and it looks like he might have a run on Kendall this time, but Kendall comes back.
3 road racers in the top 5, and 2 of them leading this race right now.
Kendall's been running way up there, Benny.
He has been running up there. The car gets an awfully good grip, but as I said a moment ago, it wears the tire faster than racetrack.
Well, he's made a good showing, Kendall has, up at the front. Do you think he might try to cool him down right now in time for the dash at the end?
Well, that one thing that he's doing when he runs the top is he is cooling the tires. They aren't slipping as much up there, so it's only wearing. They're not getting hot up there. As we see now, Kendall is back in third spot, as here comes Jeff Gordon trying to take that spot away.
All right, let's take a review of the championship. Earnhardt, if right now this thing was over, would still be the winner of the IROC Championship. Mark Martin in second.
But Mark Martin, who you see on the right side of the screen there, Paul, he has got to make a move. He still has this championship within his reach.
Well, he has to get second place. Jeff Gordon has to win it. There's Earnhardt,
as he watches the race, Jack. Jackaroo?
Paul, Dale Earnhardt has found a place to watch the race. He's listened to your commentary. He doesn't want to have to win a championship this way, but he said he'll take it any way he can get it. He is recognition as well of the fact that they don't have radios. And he said, boy, this is a time that Martin could use a spotter, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dale, we'll make a deal right now. If you don't want to win it this way and you do, I'll take the Dodge Avenger.
Oh, see, kids are trying to get by, and Martin almost made it. And Jeff Gordon is all the way back in, what is that, seventh spot now?
Boy, Mark Martin is acting like a man who may just not have the speed under his right foot. I don't know. Wouldn't you think, Benny, if he did, he'd just be playing up further up?
He obviously needs to get much closer, and there's only just a handful of laps to go. So, Mark, you got to go up. If you're going to win the money, now is the time. I think the fact that he is not is telling us that he can't.
I think you're exactly right, Paul.
Jeff Gordon's still stuck way back there behind Kinzer. Got to keep an eye on, too, is Pruitt. Remember, he can still be part of this fight.
Martin riding right behind Pruitt. Pruitt, of course, surviving that big spin early in the race, which involved Earnhardt.
Kinzer comes up behind Martin. Maybe they can get together and work and bring him forward. And whoa, look at Kinzer as he gets way high and throws some dust up against the wall. So at the front, it's still Al Unser Jr., who has won three IROC races here at Michigan International Speedway. It ties him for the most with Neil Bonnet. Final round of the International Race of Champions, moving to the closing laps now. We're going to carry all the way to the checkered flag. This is the current race standings. But of course, the real key is the battle for the championship. As Mark Martin just slid one position back, that's going to be costly. Dale Earnhardt, while he's still sitting back in the garage area, and Jeff Gordon forges to the outside and passed two cars on the outside down the front straightaway. And Mark Martin is desperate. Line green car. He's trying his best to get to the front, but is Rusty going to let it go? Looks like he is. So in the championship, it's still Earnhardt that can take the win despite the fact he's sitting in the garage area. Mark Martin needs second place if he is going to win it. And Scott Pruitt and Jeff Gordon, of course, need to finish up at the front. And while Kendall was leading for seven laps, he took bonus points away from Gordon, who led five.
The smallest miscalculations can take the championship away from you. Remember back in 1984 when Waltrip, when he finished fourth in the last race, thought he had it won. He moved into a tie, but later a tie with Gant. But then because Gant had won the race that day, Gant became the overall winner. So things can get very close, and it may happen here. Benny, you sat once in a situation like this, thought you saw a championship getting away from you.
At Rockingham in 1973, I crashed on the 13th lap, and I thought the championship was over. But they fixed the car, got back on the racetrack, just like Earnhardt did, ran enough laps to go ahead and win the Winston Cup Championship.
Battle for the championship sits back here. Gordon, Pruitt, Mark Martin.
Boy, this is where Mark Martin needs someone to tell him, here's what you got to do. But as the field is spreading out, I think the chances for a last-minute leapfrog by Martin are being reduced with each lap, don't you, Paul?
Well, you know what I'm really wondering? As we watch Kendall come up to challenge Little Al again and again use that high side, what I'm really wondering about with Mark Martin is, with Earnhardt out, does he possibly think that he doesn't have to get up further?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Mark's a heads-up race driver.
Oh, yeah.
He surely knows the numbers.
It's ironic, though, that Al Unser Jr., who had that coming together with Earnhardt at Daytona, is acting as a spoiler at this point for the hopes of the other championship contenders, men like Martin. He is now actually helping to hand the championship to Earnhardt by forcing all the other cars back a spot.
And Kendall takes the lead from Al Jr. Tommy Kendall in the black car passes Al Unser Jr., the green car, for the lead with just 2.5 laps laps to go.
And we really can't, while we focus on the championship, take anything away from Tommy Kendall, who is driving a superlative race here. Look how high he is now.
But he missed a corner that time. Woohoo! Almost hits the wall as he comes off the corner, and Al Jr. has a run.
We saw Al go down low there to be sure he gave him plenty of room if he needed it.
Allister Jr. back in front.
Two road racers. You would have thought this was Winston Cup territory, but two road racers look to have this thing running between them.
Mark Martin and Pruitt continue to try and battle it out. Kinzer once again comes off the corner high. Moving to the final lap. Just two to go. Actually, a lap and a half as they turn into turn three. And Earnhardt still has the championship.
It is now going to take a miracle by Mark Martin to wrest this championship from Dale. You see, sitting there, obviously nursing a hope now that he might win it. A very real hope.
Final lap. Final lap is Al Unser Jr.
Dale Earnhardt could become one of three men to be two-time IROC championships in a year that he might very well break Richard Petty's seven championship string in Winston Cup.
Little contact between those two cars. And Earnhardt, the best news is you don't have to split this money with Childress. You know that. This is all your money. Here they come, Al Unser Jr. and Tommy Kendall down to the line. Checkered flags in the air.
Unser Jr. comes for the win. The question is Mark Martin, of course. Where can he come? And Unser Jr. takes the win. Mark Martin is not in position to do it. There's your new champion.
Well, Dale Earnhardt, congratulations. You did win the championship in the luxury of air conditioning and a prime seat with everything that was happening.
Well, it's a shame our car started having vibration and a fuel problem, but it was a great race. I was pulling for little Al, and, you know, we had a problem down at Daytona, and he wrecked. So it's fitting. He won the race, and we ended up winning the championship because of Mark and the guys couldn't ever get up there, but Lil Al and Tommy Kendall and those guys look strong, so I was pulling for them all the way.
Well, besides $250,000, there's a special presentation as well. You know the drill. A Dodge Avenger, a street version, goes to the winner of the IROC, and making the presentation is Ron Smith, the marketing manager for Dodge Division.
Dale, on behalf of Dodge, we want to congratulate you on a fine series, and I hope you enjoy the new black Dodge Avenger, which is appropriate.
Good luck. Yeah, we're going to. We really appreciate it. Dodge has been a super sponsor in the series, and this is going to be something I have a pride. I've got a museum of a lot of cars. This is going to go right in there beside my Monte Carlo pace car from Indy, so she's going to look good in my museum. So we appreciate it, and thank you a lot.
Hey, guys, kind of appropriate. It's black.
And here are the final results of the run here at Michigan International Speedway. Al Unser Jr., his ninth race win in the International Race of Champions. And Tommy Kendall, you can't say enough for this young road racer. What a terrific day. His best ever finish in an IROC race. As we look at the bottom half of the group, of course, Steve Millen did not start, and we wish him well in speedy recovery. Let's go to Jack.
Well, Mark, you saw Dale Earnhardt go out, and you thought you'd won the championship?
Well, I don't know. I had the worst car I've ever drawn in IROC. I couldn't do anything with it. Nothing on the straightaway. It was missing, and I couldn't do anything with it in the corners either. So that's all I had, and I was more worried about the guys on the track than I was Earnhardt. He just had a big old lead. We messed up and got caught in a wreck on the last lap of Daytona, and that was our downfall.
Well, there you have it. After being pulled out of the race late in the stretch of that race at Michigan, Dale Earnhardt watched that race for the rest of the day and still becomes the IROC champion. Yeah, Dale Earnhardt Sr. just won the championship just watching his trailer after early troubles and not able to bounce back, but boy, Mark Martin would have found a way to get to the front and become an IROC champion and take that IROC championship. But just like Mark Martin said earlier, the post-race interview, that the wreck at Daytona International Speedway did not give him any luck of getting past Dale Earnhardt Sr. to win the 1995 IROC Championship. And boy, when he told Al Unser Jr., who won the IROC race at Michigan, that he won the IROC Championship, those commentators, Benny Parsons, Sam Posey, Paul Page, they were laughing like hyenas. My goodness, like, that is fucking insane. But I tell you what, maybe if we can get some type of IROC-ish kind of series, like XRS, who only does short track racing, but, you know, I wish that there's a series that could expand, and not just the short tracks, but also road courses, and super speedways, and, yeah, that sort of thing. But, who knows? Maybe we can listen to some more IROC throwbacks. But until then, folks, after this brief ad, we are going to listen to a Japanese theme song from a Super Sentai series. Yes, the Power Rangers counterpart that started way back in 1975. But this one, well, I'm going to have to tell you right after these words.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message. Howdy, Kemosabe. It's your pal, President Joey Baloney. Some of the younger bucks around here have been telling me we got to beef up our security against the cyborgs. It's no joke, man. Cyborgs and computers can be scared as all heck. And when I was growing up, if a machine was causing trouble, it just found a crescent wrench and gave it a good whack. And that gizmo would be humming again in no time. But now the Chinese are peering into your tricky docks, and bad dudes from Nigeria and whatnot sending hot mails promising to increase the size of your Johnny Doodle. Don't click them links, man. They're bad news. That's how cyborgs get into your YouTubes. So go read the nuts and bolts of my plan. Just fire up the old IBM, type in White House, period, go V, sideways line, then something else. Hang on. Oh, whoops. Screen's on the fritz. It must have pressed a what's or something. Maybe this is... Holy cow! I'm a cow! Jill, get Hunter Jr. in here.
Well, we're in good hands.
And we back, folks, on this Sunday edition of Random Stuff. Now let's get to some Japanese music, and it's gonna be from a Super Sentai TV show called Taiyo Sentai Sun Vulcan. Here's the live version back in 2000, Superhero Spirits. Here's Akira Kushida and friends with, what's the song again?
Oh,
Arigato to Akira Kushida and friends in the 2000 Superhero Spirits with the theme song of Taiyo Sentai Sun Vulcan. Now, after this brief ad, we wrapped up this very long-ass episode of a Sunday. That is Random Stuff Season 4, so stay tuned, folks! Closed captioning for this podcast is brought to you by the following.
Celebrate the second anniversary of the insurrection with a gift any red-blooded seditionist would treasure.
It's amazing.
January 6th cargo shorts. Be the traitor of your dreams in these high-quality shorts that'll have your 8chan message board screaming, "You look proud, boy." There's a pocket for your face paint, a pocket for your raccoon pelt, another for your overdue alimony payment, one to store your stepmom's phone number when you need to post bail, and a pocket for a noose that'll have Mike Pence running for a Waffle House. Act now and we'll fill one of those pockets with a 2000 Papa Roach CD. Every pair of January 6 cargo shorts are lovingly assembled in a Chinese sweatshop. But we put a big Made in the USA patch right on the ass. Yay! Do your next insurrection in style in the roomiest shorts this side of the Capitol Police Line. Available in XL, XXL, XXXL, and Daddy Donald. January 6th cargo shorts. Call now.
And bye.
Do you have a Donald Trump problem?
The Republicans haven't resolved their Trump problem.
I think Donald Trump gives us problems
that you just can't seem to shake.
We're still seeing a Republican Party, though, that can't quit Donald Trump.
You wish it would go away.
The short message to Donald Trump, go away.
But when you try to quit...
Count me out. Enough is enough.
It never seems to last.
Can we move forward without President Trump? The answer is no.
Now there's help. Introducing Nicadump DT, the transdermal patch specifically formulated to help manage addiction to Donald Trump. The patch goes to work fast, releasing a patented blend of lithium, fried chicken, and Libtard tears to help curb your appetite for Trump and start living life again. Ask your doctor, if you believe in doctors, about Nicadump DT. It's time to move on. It's time for Nicadump DT. From the makers of Rhonda Chantix.
Good night's sleep.
Folks, that is it for this Sunday edition of Random Stuff. Be sure to tune in next week because there will be 3 episodes that will be presented before going on hiatus. So, good night, folks, and keep tuning in to Random Stuff Season 4.